Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
My dream is obviously to have WrestleMania at Croker to perform in that. That would be top of my bucket list.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Heimir Hallgrímsson names his first Ireland squad since the defeat to the Czechs in the World Cup playoff. Shamrock Rovers stretch their lead at the top of the League of Ireland Premier Division. Manchester City drop points in the Premier League title race. And Arsenal look to book their place in the Champions League final. But first today, Heimir Hallgrímsson has included seven new faces in a squad of 21 players for Ireland's training camp in Spain next week, as well as the friendly against Grenada on the 16th of May. Players involved in the EFL playoffs are based in the Premier League, the League of Ireland, the Scottish Premiership and other major European leagues will be considered for selection for the matches against Qatar and Canada later this month, but they haven't been included for this one. There are first senior call-ups for Leighton Orient goalkeeper Killian Cahill. In defence, Joe Bagan of Cardiff, Aaron Cashin, who's on loan from Brighton at Blackburn, and Crystal Palace defender Tayo Adeyemi, who spent the season on loan at Sheffield Wednesday. The other players are in attack. It's Oxford striker Adamo Maku, Jack Moylan, who starred in Lincoln's promotion to the Championship, and Jaden Ume. 18-year-old Ume, who plays for Benfica, is the one notable exception of players still involved with their clubs at the moment, but he's been released by the Portuguese club to participate in the Murcia camp. Off the Ball's Ben Symes spoke to Heimir Hallgrímsson, who talked about the potential Ume has.
Yeah, he's one of the kind of the high potential players that Ireland has, and it's always good to bring him up to this level and see if he's ready for this one. Obviously, physically he's ready, and he's been doing well at the club. And I had a few talks with Benfica about him, and they rate him highly, and he's done well with the Ireland youth teams. A scorer, it will be exciting to see him. He has many attributes, and like I say, a high ceiling, but you never know with young players. But it's good to have a chance to take a look at him.
Dara O'Shea, Jason Malumbi, Adam Ida and Jason Knight provide the backbone of the squad. Casey McAteer returns to the fold alongside Sheffield United pair Tom Cannon and Mark McGuinness. Harvey Vale, Sammy Smodics, Robbie Brady, Boston Luwal and Jack Taylor have been left out due to injury concerns. There are doubts as well over the fitness of Joe Bagan. The squad will leave next week for the training camp in Murcia. They play the friendly against Grenada in Spain on Saturday the 16th of May. Something else that came up was the name of Owen Elding. Hallgrímsson says the former Sligo Rovers striker, now at Hibs, is 100% committed to Ireland.
Yeah. Because there was an article on him, I think, this week. So I gave him a call this morning and said, I would definitely have a question about you. Am I okay saying you're committed to Ireland? And he said, yes, no problem. So he is in our frame. He might be one that we would call in. Obviously, he can't play the Caps in June, but we might call him in just to have him around the squad, being on trainings, etc. But he's one that we see as a high potential as well.
Another squad for the friendly is against Qatar at the Aviva on the 28th of May, and Canada in Montreal on the 5th of June will be named after the game against Grenada. Shamrock Rovers have a 3-point lead at the top of the League of Ireland Premier Division. Rovers won 4-1 at home to Drogheda United yesterday. John McGovern scored twice. Matt Healy and Malice Asamoah scored the other goals. Speaking to Shamrock Rovers in-house media channel, McGovern says it was a good weekend to pick up maximum points.
Yeah, listen, I thought we were brilliant today in both halves. Real team performance. Again, to go back-to-back wins on a double weekend is brilliant. And 6 points keeps us at the top of the league, so yeah, I think we're all delighted.
Second place St. Pat's were held to a 1-1 draw by Sligo Rovers at the Showgrounds. Keane Levy had put Pat's in front before Archie Meekison equalised from the penalty spot just before half time for John Russell's side. Speaking to LOI TV, Stephen Kenny says it was disappointing to drop 2 points for the second time in the space of a few days, which followed Friday's draw in Galway.
Yeah, obviously, like I think Keane Levy's goal, brilliant goal, you know, great individual play coming in off the right, opening up the pitch and then firing that into the far corner, you know, it was really developing. Brilliant goal. Again, the game is turned on the penalty decision, and you know, we're disappointed. So it definitely changed the landscape of the game.
Sligo Rovers are ninth in the table, 9 points ahead of bottom side Waterford. John Russell said they showed good character to come back after going behind.
Yeah, really pleased with the performance. And as I said, yeah, to go behind so early, disappointing the goal we conceded. It was a coming together between Shane and Sean. And look, in fairness to Keane Levy, he's been outstanding this season, and a really good finish from him. But yeah, I think we were a bit slow the first 15-20 minutes to get ourselves into the game. Our passing was off, and in fairness, Pats were in control. But we showed great character and resolve, got ourselves back in the game. You know, Archie sticks away the penalty, and I think second half, our change in shape and our energy levels, and as I said, that resolve, because it was important after Friday's disappointment of losing after playing so well, and we needed to make sure we got something tonight, and thankfully we did.
Waterford came from behind twice to draw 3-3 with Dundalk at the RSC in the first game since John Daly's departure. Goals from Daryl Horgan and Bemi Arubi had the Lilywhites 2-0 up before Waterford hit back with goals from Tommy Lonergan and Padraig Amond. Horgan put Kieran Kilduff's side ahead once again with 7 minutes remaining before John Mahan equalised again for Waterford with just 2 minutes left. Waterford remain bottom, Dundalk are fourth. Bohemians are still third despite no win in 9 games. Bows drew 2-2 with Shelburne in a Dublin derby at Dalymount Park. Adam McDonald put Bows in front early on in the game, but goals from John Martin and an own goal from Sam Todd had Shells in front. Harry Vaughan, the substitute, equalised for the home side in the 89th minute to make it back-to-back draws for Alan Reynolds' side. Portuguese winger Kevin Santos ensured Derry City remained unbeaten in their temporary home at Celtic Park. He scored in Derry's 1-1 draw with Galway United. In the First Division, UCD have gone top thanks to their 2-1 win away to Cove Ramblers. Cork City were beaten again, this time a 1-0 loss away to Kerry. Finn Harps beat Bray Wanderers 2-1. Bottomside Treaty United won 1-0 against Wexford, and it finished 1-1 in the Midlands derby between Longford Town and Athlone Town. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola promises his side will keep fighting in the Premier League title race against leaders Arsenal after last night's dramatic 3-3 draw away to Everton. City are 5 points off the top. They do have a game in hand. Guardiola says their position is clear.
Now it's in our hands. If they win all the games, the title will be for Arsenal. So what we have to do is win our game, next one, recover well, and have to have a series of games, 3 days, and this is what we have to do.
Arsenal will be crowned champions for the first time since 2004 if they win their last 3 games. Jeremy Doku scored 2 goals last night. Erling Haaland got the other goal for City. Everton were 1-0 down at half-time but scored 3 goals in 13 second-half minutes. 2 from Tierno Barry and 1 from Ireland international Jake O'Brien. Guardiola says he's not giving up yet.
It was in our hands, in Arsenal hands as well, before that game. It depends on the goals conceded. Now it's not. So, but for responsibility, you have Brentford, sub to rate 3 and continue, and we'll see what happens.
Everton boss David Moyes isn't ruling out their opponents just yet either.
I'm disappointed now because we were on the verge of taking 3 points against the best team at the moment in the Premier League. Whether they go on to prove that they're the best team by winning it, I don't know, but there's no doubt that they're playing better than any other team in the Premier League.
Football writer and broadcaster Jonathan Wilson joined Ger Gilroy in this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast and says it's now Arsenal's title to lose.
Well, that was a much more interesting match maybe than we had anticipated or had any right to expect last night.
A lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be at half time. It was a game which nothing happened and then everything happened. And I guess City come out of it mildly encouraged, the fact that they did get a point. But still, yeah, I don't think there's any real reason to expect Arsenal to drop points in the 3 games they have remaining. And that means, if that doesn't happen, that is the title done.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Phil Foden, who came off the bench in the second half last night, has agreed a 4-year deal in principle with Manchester City. The terms of the new deal also include an option to extend it for another 12 months until 2031. The England international has scored 10 goals in 46 appearances this season. Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira says they'll have to wait and see if Morgan Gibbs-White will be fit in time for Thursday night's crucial second leg of their Europa League semi-final away to Aston Villa. The midfielder came off with a deep cut after a clash of heads in Forest's 3-1 win away to Chelsea yesterday. That result moved Forest 6 points clear of the bottom three. Pereira says Gibbs-White will do all he can to be ready in time.
He's a fighter, he has a strong mentality. I hope our medical department can do magic to put him in conditions, because he's important for us, very important player for us. I said to him, you don't need to use the head to heading, the balls, just to play.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta has urged his players to enjoy the occasion of tonight's Champions League semi-final. The Gunners, who can reach a first final in 20 years, are at home to Atletico Madrid in the second leg of their last four tie. It's 1-1 from the first leg in Spain last week.
I feel the energy in and amongst the team, our supporters. So these are the moments that we want to live together. We had a lot of work as a club, as a team, after 20 years to be in this position again. And we are so hungry to get a game that we want.
Kick-off at the Emirates is 8 o'clock. Hearts boss Derek McInnes says there's still work to do to clinch the Scottish Premiership title after a crucial 2-1 win at home to Rangers. The leaders are 3 points clear at the top with just 3 games to go, which includes playing Celtic on the final day of the season. McInnes says they have to prepare for what's due to be a pivotal weekend.
We expect, we're ready if it has to go down to the last game, and we'll be ready for that. Hopefully the next game is the most important one, and hopefully we can be good enough to get a positive result against a Motherwell team who, well, they haven't beaten us. They get all the plaudits, rightly so, for all the right reasons.
Next up for Rangers is the derby against Celtic this weekend, and Danny Rowe concedes it's extremely difficult to win the title after the loss to Hearts. His team in third place are now 7 points off the top with 3 games to play. Rowe says falling short at this stage is difficult to take.
Well, it's disappointing. You work very hard to come to such a point and you lose, I think, 2 games tight, 2-1, 3-2. And for me, unnecessary, I must say this. You can take the points, you have to take the points in this race, and this is what we have to learn.
And Kevin Kilbane joined John Duggan on this weekend's Football Saturday. With the World Cup just over 40 days away, Kilbane, who's now based in Canada, explained the extortionate expense of going to the games.
How are preparations going in North America? Because we're speaking to you from Canada, Kevin, where you now live for the World Cup. I just don't know what to expect with this World Cup. Obviously, we're all still a bit sad given what happened in Prague, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the overriding thing. I just wish that we were there, and that's where we are, John, on it, I suppose. There's so much around ticketing issues, travel costs, hotel costs, everything like that's going to continue to come up. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Irish, John, that will be coming over to the World Cup just to see it as a spectacle in itself. And I think they'll probably have a bit of beef with how much it's actually going to be to get to the games. The category 1, 2, and 3 tickets, the prices that you're being asked to pay is extortionate, John. Families can't go to the game. It's something that's been spoken about, particularly here in Canada, because I think football or soccer here in Canada, John, is very it's very small. It's very much a community-driven thing, the way that it is. So because of these small fractions, and predominantly it's been immigrants, whether it's Italian, Irish, or whoever, English, that have come to Canada, they've set up football clubs in the last 50, 60 years or whatever it's been. And football is absolutely a growing game. The team, Canada itself, have improved no end in the last 6 or 7 years since I've been here, John. They're a good side now, and I think they're going to be competitive here at the World Cup. But families can't go. We're talking about legacy and everything like that around the World Cup. And the legacy of it is going to be, I feel, that fans are going to be charged out of getting to games. Real families can't go to the games because, you know, if you've got a couple of kids, John, and you want to take them, you know, two adults and two kids, it's probably the best part of €5,000, €6,000. That's for a category 3 ticket, John. It's just, it's extortionate. It's a joke. And families can't afford it. And that's where it is here, particularly in Canada, yeah.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.